Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
All right. Thank you, worship team. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. April is here. Springtime is here. Gardening season is here. If you're a turkey hunter, turkey season is... Well, it's here for the young. It'll be here in a few days. Fishing season is here. Hallelujah. And a new sermon series for the month of April is here, and it will go for the next 4 weeks. And most importantly, Resurrection Sunday is almost here. So it's an exciting time to be here. And if you're joining us for the first time, if you're visiting, we're so glad that you're here, because we believe what the Word says, that in this house, as we gather and we open up the Word of God and welcome the Spirit of God, God speaks to His people. God speaks to those who are listening. And so it's exciting to be here. If you have a Bible, please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and we will kick off there in just a moment. And so if you're joining us maybe for one of the first times, for the past 3 months, we have moved through 6 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And if we could sum up the last 3 months in maybe 3 words about what we've been learning, it could be these 3 words. Think about it. Think about it. God's wisdom knows best for our lives. And God's wisdom is constantly asking us to think about it and pray for it. And so just stick with me. Think about it. Whatever we're doing in this life, God's wisdom wants to speak into it. Your words and your work, before we speak it and before we go, God's wisdom is saying, think about it before you act on it. Who you're going to be friends with or who you're going to marry, God's wisdom says, think about it before you act on it. Before you buy it, build it, sign your name to it, or sleep with it, God's wisdom says, think about it before you act on it. And for real, God's wisdom has been this constant plea with us to come after it. And before we act, first get the wisdom, treasure it, store it up, and tell God, God, until you give me wisdom from heaven and understanding and discernment, I'm not going to follow through with what my emotions or my feelings are telling me to do. Well, Jesus had a fascinating way of doing this. Jesus, when he stepped into the pages of time and history, he didn't just say, think about it. He changed the it, and he made it eternity. Jesus said, it's in so many different ways, I want you to think about eternity. And so Jesus was always asking people to consider what he's saying, and to not live for the here and the now, but to think about how the decisions that we're making here and now are reflecting eternity. And so it's fascinating that an individual that we're very familiar with comes to talk with Jesus late one night. And some of you, as soon as you see this or hear this, you're going to immediately go to season 1, episode number 7 of The Chosen. Chosen fans out there? Okay. And some of you are like, what are you talking about? You're going to go home and probably watch it tonight or tomorrow. It's great. But Nicodemus has been thinking about it. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, and he's heard of what Jesus has said. He's heard about what Jesus has done, and Nicodemus is, think about eternity. Nicodemus has been hearing that Jesus has turned the temple upside down, and so he comes to Jesus, and he's like, let's talk about it, because I've been thinking about it. So with your Bible open to John chapter 3, would you please stand with me in reverence and honor for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible Word. Beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask, seeing and knowing that your word is open and your spirit is invited, that you would move and that you would stir our affections this morning, that you would open the eyes up of anyone who doesn't know the gospel, whether here, whether watching online, in a powerful way, that they would come to the gospel today. Father, we pray that you would stir the affections of us, the church, those who have trusted the gospel in such a way, God, that we don't get distracted by the things of here and now, but we would take on this understanding of the everlasting life that we've been given and have a burden to share the gospel and talk with people about eternity and about your son, Jesus. Bless this service, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the next 4 weeks, we need to lean in and to watch how Jesus, the person of wisdom, spoke differently to people about eternity. Jesus didn't just say the same thing all the time. Jesus leaned in and he got to know people and he understood where they're coming from, and then he related to them in where they were at, and he spoke to them in a way that was inviting them to consider his invitation for eternity. Sometimes the subject of eternity is presented in such a way that people are just turned away. It's the same thing all the time, and people just look, and it's just as if God is this big, mean, angry God wanting to punish everybody. But Jesus shows us much differently. So lean in today as we look for a moment at two different passages. Nicodemus comes in. He's trying to figure this out, and he's showing us the characteristics of what we've looked at in Proverbs. He's been listening. He's seeking. He's trying to understand. And Jesus is like, hey, let's have a conversation. And Jesus just kicks the conversation off and says, look, have you ever thought about what it would be like to step into eternity and not see the kingdom of God? Now, this is a big deal because the Pharisees and the Sadducees are two of the main groups that facilitate and lead things in the Sanhedrin. And they're in two different camps when it comes to eternity. The Sadducees didn't believe in eternity. They didn't believe in life after death. They just believed you're kind of here, you do your thing, you die, and that's it. And so that's why they were always so sad, you see, when you seen them. And so the Pharisees were a little bit different. And Jesus gets right to the heart of what Nicodemus, the leader of the Pharisees, would be always trying to convey to the Sadducees. The kingdom of God, eternity. But Jesus, there's a problem here because Pharisees handled the scriptures all the time, but they didn't know the author of the scriptures. When you read the gospels, you pick up on that time and time again, that they said all the right words and did a lot of the right things, but Jesus said, your heart is so far from me. And it was that group of people that Nicodemus was with all the time. So Jesus says, hey, look, if we're going to have a conversation, let's make it count. I want you to think about eternity. And as this conversation continued, Nicodemus is struggling to follow. Nicodemus is trying to figure out, how do I get born a second time? I've already been born. That'd be kind of difficult for my mom. And Jesus makes it clear, I'm not talking about a physical birth. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. Nicodemus, I'm talking about the way that the Holy Spirit moves to bring an individual into God's family. You're a son of Adam. I'm inviting you into God's kingdom, a new birth, a new life, to be born and become a son, a child of the King, a child of God. And so Nicodemus isn't following. And Jesus is pretty surprised by this because one of the most familiar passages of the Old Testament that a ruler and teacher of the law would have known was in Ezekiel chapter 36, when God said, in those days, there's coming a day when I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'm going to put in you a new spirit and a new heart, it's my spirit that's going to be in you. And Nicodemus it's not clicking. And so what's so fascinating about Jesus is He doesn't just, let's just talk about hell then. Now, Jesus continues the conversation and he goes to another passage that Nicodemus maybe is more familiar with. And Jesus says, look, do you remember when Moses was leading the children of Israel and in the wilderness and everybody started getting bit by poisonous snakes because of their disobedience and their complaints? And do you remember everyone was crying out for help and God told Moses to make a bronze serpent and to put it on a pole and to lift it up and to go tell the people, when you look up at the bronze serpent and you see it lifted up, the look, when you look at it, because this is what God said, you'll be healed. Jesus says, Nicodemus, I'm like that bronze serpent. The look was a look of faith in what God had told Moses to do. And the people looked and they were healed by God physically. And Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, I'm from heaven and I'm going to be lifted up. And those who look to me in faith will be spiritually healed. In fact, in this moment, Jesus set up what we all would agree has been the most climactic, amazing, memorized Bible verse in the history of mankind. And it's amazing to me that so many people quote the verse but don't believe in the simplicity of it. So Jesus looks at Nicodemus and just says, look, think about eternity this way. And just, it's familiar, but think. God loved the world so much. Nicodemus, he didn't just say it. He acted upon it. He sent his only begotten son. And Nicodemus is looking at Jesus and Jesus is like, I am that son. I stepped out of eternity into the time frame of man on earth. And Nicodemus, here's how simple you and anyone can be birthed into God's family and into eternity. Whoever believes. And the word believe here means to trust or to have faith. Whoever puts their trust in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's given. And you can just wonder how Nicodemus's wheels are spinning. Because here's the thing. A person once said there's two religions in the world. It really all comes down to two religions. There's the religion that teaches man what he must do to be accepted by God. And then there's the religion that teaches us who we must trust or how we must trust in what God has done to find us acceptable in him. And Nicodemus is saying, Jesus is saying, look, it really comes down to your response of faith in me. So let's think about eternity for just a moment and why it is that Jesus can make such an offer. I want to grab a rope. Cameraman is going to love this back there, moving that thing around. I want to stretch this rope out. Oh, somebody opened my door. Okay, it was set up, I assure you. All right, now notice the rope. It runs through the door, and you can't see the beginning of the rope. You can't see the beginning of the rope, and I want you to imagine that the rope has no beginning because you can't see it. And I want you to think about what it means for God to be able to offer us eternity. The rope has no beginning because to picture the idea that God has no beginning. The Gospel of John tells us this, that in chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in our minds, it's easy to think about God in terms of time. So I'm just going to put 1:1 right up here on this rope. Well, think about this. John's gospel connects Jesus, the eternal God, with what Genesis 1:1 says, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When we think about eternity and God being eternal, our minds are kind of confined to only think about time. But think about this. When God created the heavens and the earth, and then you have the 6 days of creation, day 1, day 2, day 3, God created time. God exists outside of time, and he created time. God created space. He created the heavens. God created matter, the substance that everything on earth is made of, because God exists outside of time, space, and matter. Everything that we experience in life is connected to time, space, and matter, but God goes before time, space, and matter. He just always has been. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows about eternity because he's been here for eternity past. He has no beginning and he has no end of days. And then when Jesus speaks of everlasting life, it's his way of saying, look, 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 you got to understand, you got to understand. Everlasting life. There's never an end. There's an end to this Sunday, and then we go to bed. Then there's an end to Monday, and then we go to bed. And there's an end to our lives. But God's saying, look, look, because I'm from eternity past, I can offer eternity future. Wrap that around your mind, Nicodemus, and let the church get motivated by it, and let the lost, those that don't know the gospel, think about it and soak it in. And so, but there's this other thing that he said, that God gave his son. And we love to use these symbols to talk about Jesus coming. That Jesus told Nicodemus in verse 13, you have to understand, I came from heaven. I came from eternity. And at the end of this mission, I'm going to die. Nicodemus doesn't know it yet, but he's going to actually eventually be there. He's going to be there to participate in the burial of Jesus. Something about this conversation is going to, that John's going to let us know, is going to cause Nicodemus to stick around and kind of lean in and be like, I'm going to continue to put this together. And when Jesus rises from the dead, maybe it's going to click. Maybe then it clicked for Nicodemus that his death on the cross paid for our sins. And when we, by faith, take him at his word, we're healed spiritually. We're forgiven of our sins. 3 days later, who has a funeral for 3 days and then comes back to tell about it? Really? Who has a funeral for 3 days and then comes back to tell about it? And when Jesus does this, it means that he and he alone can give us, in all people, everlasting life. And Jesus makes it so clear in his ministry, anyone can make this offer, but only he can fulfill it. And then when he ascends, this last little part is what's left. He's coming back. And as a church, we're like the forerunners, pleading with the world to think about it. But then there was that other little version in John 3:16. It was two words. Nicodemus, the one that believes in me, they're not going to perish. And so you notice that Jesus, he didn't go into any great detail about hell. He didn't have to talk about it. He didn't get all fired up and talk about how hot and different and all that it is. He just said the word perish. Nicodemus was left, if he wanted, he could ask a question about it. As far as we know, he didn't. But Jesus said, look, there's this other eternity. There's this eternity where man can choose to spend forever separated from God. But they don't have to because, tangled up in the plants. But they don't have to choose that because God didn't send his son for them to choose that. I'm going to need some help with my clip. Get it worked out here in a second. I'll explain why I'm clipping it right here in just a minute. There we go. And notice again that as we tie this all up, let me get Avery to throw this out the door and run it out the door. Thank you, sir. You can't see the end of the rope. And because the idea is that Jesus wants all people, and especially Nicodemus, in this moment to understand this eternity has no end as well. You get the idea. And it goes forever and ever and ever. And in this conversation, it's just so good for us as a church to just pause and think about it. Wow, that the rope goes forever that way. Eternity goes forever that way. And if I just reached in and said, how does this rope compare to that rope? What if we just said for just a moment, this rope represents our lives? And you come over here and you just say, for just a moment, there's my life. I realize you can't barely see it, but you get the idea. There's my life. There's my little span of life in terms of eternity. And Jesus is just saying, just come on. Just think about it. This one decision of faith or not faith in the Son of God dictates two options for eternity. Man, when we as the church continuously just let this sink in, man, we wake up every day and I think, man, that person that I work with and that person that I go to school with and that person in my family, that person that maybe you bump into every now and again, they're looking at your life and they're looking at my life. And God says, I realize we're not going to be perfect, but I want to work in your life in such a way with the wisdom and the love of God that that person leaves saying, man, she really makes me think about what direction my life is going. Man, every time I'm around him at school and at work and here and there, there's a purpose to his life. And it makes me really pause and think about the purpose to which my life is going. You feel that Jesus is doing that, and he's doing it in such a simple way. And so someone should ask. Nicodemus could ask. He didn't ask, but it's a good question to ask, and I want us to be ready for this question. If God is so loving, why would an eternity apart from God even exist? Why does he have to throw? If he's so loving, why would it exist? Well, in another parable, Jesus answered that question. It's so good for us to see the answer to that question. Jesus actually said, look, in Matthew 25, at the end of a parable, there's coming a day when he, the Son of Man, the Son of God, will say to people, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. But look what he says. Prepared for the devil and his angels. This everlasting fire wasn't originally in times past with God. At some point in time, after Genesis 1:1, it was created. And he tells us exactly why it was created. It actually wasn't created to punish people. It was created because there was an angel in heaven, read Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, who led worship in heaven. And there came a time when Lucifer wanted to be worshipped as God and above God. And he was kicked out of heaven. And all the angels that were deceived by Lucifer were kicked out too. And so essentially, hell was created. Everlasting fire was created, Jesus says, not to punish people, but to give Satan essentially what he asked for. He couldn't be worshipped as God and above God, but since he wanted so bad a place without God's comfort, in a place without God's love, in a place without God's presence, then God created a place, an everlasting place for him and the angels that followed him. And now Jesus is telling us in John 3 and in Matthew 25, look, he doesn't send people to hell. Follow this. This is so good for people to hear because they're turned away by the church so often. God really doesn't just send people to hell. He actually lets people choose hell for themselves by rejecting the good news of the gospel. Jesus came to give heaven, but he doesn't force his love upon anybody. He just says, come. Come you that are hungry, come you that are thirsty, come to you that are heavy laden, come, and I'll give you everlasting life. So now watch. Flip the script now, and let's go to another scene for just a moment. And I want you to see Jesus sitting at a dinner table with what Luke says are sinners and tax collectors, people born just like you and me, and these individuals realize they're broken, they need a Savior. And tax collectors are the extreme that represents those of us who have incredible regrets and wish we could just go back and change. Jesus is sitting and eating and he's having a conversation. It's so amazing. And look who shows up. Nicodemus' buddies. The Pharisees show up. And when the Pharisees and the scribes show up, look at what they do. They complain that this man Jesus receives sinners and tax collectors as if they're not. And so if you're the sinner and the tax collector or the unbeliever and you're sitting there and the religious walk up and they're like, can't believe you would even sit next to Hunter. Do you know about Jesus? I can't believe that you would even sit next to them at a dinner table. How would that make one feel that's already broken and empty and searching on the inside? It kind of just communicates that worthless feelings, right? But watch how our Savior steps into battle. He steps into battle because they're sitting and eating with him because they're wanting to hear. They've heard good things and they want to know more. They want to know, perhaps, can this man save me and forgive me? Because I need it. And so in Luke 15, Jesus begins those familiar parables. And he says, let me tell all of you a story. Pharisees, since you're here, lean in, you need to listen to. There was a shepherd who left 99 sheep to go after the one. And then he threw a party when he found it. Oh, and there was this person, this lady who lost a coin. And she searched all night for the coin. And then when she found it, she threw a party. She was so glad to find it. Oh, and then there was this father whose son wanted nothing to do with him, and he went and wasted his life, but eventually he came to his senses. And when he came home, the father ran out to meet him and hugged him and loved him and kissed him, and he threw a party because that which was lost has been found. And if you're the sinner and you're the tax collector, you're like, this is for me. He wants me to be found. This is amazing. Pharisees, according to Luke's gospel, said nothing. But then Jesus told another parable, and this time it hit a heartstring with the Pharisees. This time he told a parable about money and about having true friends and truly being friendly. And then they perked up and they said, oh, okay. And they perked up. And this is what they said, or this is what Luke tells us. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard these things. And they derided him. In other words, they ridiculed him. They got up from the table and said, "Ah!" And you can kind of hear them running their mouth. This is baloney, and you know that whole thing. And Jesus looks to them and has the sinners and tax collectors in mind and says, hold on. You're those who justify yourselves before men. It's all about what you do that makes you think you're getting right with God. But God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And so now Jesus says, you know what? The complaining and the ridiculing is unhealthy for the guys and the gals that I'm sitting here talking with. So let me tell another parable. Let me tell a parable about eternity. Maybe this will be a wake-up call for the Pharisees that aren't listening. Maybe this will help them to understand. And it's like Jesus is saying, look, I want you guys to find yourself in the parable. Pharisees, I want you guys to find yourself in the parable. And he says, okay, here's the story. There was a rich man who had everything the wisdom of this world would help him access. He fared sumptuously. He had it all. And outside his house and outside his gate, there was a beggar. And the beggar he had it tough. He had sores all over his body, and the dogs licked his sores, and he just begged every day for crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And then Jesus says, here's what happened. Both of them stepped into eternity, and they were in different places. And there was this huge gulf in between them, and they could see each other. And Jesus says, the beggar was comforted. He was with Abraham. He was in this paradise, this waiting place. But the rich man was in torment in Hades. And Jesus said, here's what the rich man did. When he noticed across the gulf, he noticed Lazarus, the beggar, and he noticed Abraham. He began to cry out. And he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, child of Israel, of the lineage, do you remember in your lifetime that you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things? But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, because it's everlasting, it's eternal, nor can those from there pass to us. Do you feel the context? Jesus didn't just show up and start unloading on everybody. Jesus doesn't want religious people to get in the way of the simplicity of the gospel when he's sharing it with people that want to hear and seek and understand. And as a church, I love that we get to participate with Jesus and we get to say, come and understand the gospel and then be birthed into God's family and then be surrounded by a church that's going to pour heaven and earth into you to help you to grow and follow Jesus. So when we come back to the last two, or some of the last things that Jesus said to Nicodemus, what do you think? He looks at Nicodemus in verse 17 and says, look, Nicodemus, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, even though a lot of people say that that's who God is and that's what he's like and that's what he did. God sent his son to save, to rescue, to offer life. Nicodemus, put this together. Everyone, put this together. Online, put this together. He who believes in him is not condemned. It's a free gift. It's yours. You don't have to worry, doubt, fear, or ever anguish. It's yours because of faith in the gospel. But the one who doesn't believe, the one who says, you know, I know best for my eternity, the one who says, I'll put it off down the road. I don't really want to trust the gospel right now. That's not really my thing. I don't want it to change my life. I don't want it to change my life. Jesus said, look, the one that chooses to not believe is condemned already because he made the choice, the God-given choice, to not believe in the name of the only begotten Son. So for the next 3 weeks, let's just sit together and let's just soak this in and let's ask God to burden our hearts as a church for just stirring up gospel conversations, because there are people in your sphere of influence that will never walk through those doors, that will never hear anything I have to say, but they want to hear what you have to say. And more importantly, they want to see how does having everlasting life change how you live your day-to-day life in this little short span of life? And if you are here today, we don't think it's a coincidence if God is calling you to come and trust in the gospel. As we play this song, I invite you to go ahead and stand to your feet. And as the worship team comes up and we play this song, if you're here and you're just like, I want to talk with somebody about trusting the gospel and receiving Jesus as my Savior, we would be more than thrilled to do that because Jesus would be happy to do that. And so, Father, that is what we pray right now, that you would draw any unbeliever that's ready and understands the gospel to yourself now. Continue to plant the seeds of faith in the little ones and stir our hearts as a church to make known the wonders and the goodness of eternity to the people that we're in contact with every day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you